It's no secret that every Christian has one mortal enemy. Satan and his legions of demons are out to stop every advance of the gospel, and they do that by gaining footholds in the lives of believers. This is Erwin Lutzer, and tonight on Songs of the Night, I'm going to give you a strategy to block Satan's attacks on your life.
Good evening, everyone. From historic Moody Church in the heart of Chicago comes Songs in the Night with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, soloist Glenn Jorian, the King's Carolers, and organist John Innes. This is Songs in the Night.
Sorrows may come, days dark and drear, still He give us
now with another in his series, Putting Your Past Behind You, here's Dr. Lutzer.
Thanks, Ted, and good evening to all of our listening friends. You know, when we confront our own sins and the injustices done against us, we soon come into conflict with the spirit world. The deeper the emotional scars, the more power the enemy has over us. All evil is dark. There is no darkness like that of demonic spirits who want to keep us chained to a painful past. Satan and his legions want to drive the stakes of bitterness, guilt, and insecurity in so deeply that we can't pull them out. Now, Satan himself is not omnipresent. He can be only in one place at one time, but he has thousands of demons under his command. And though they are forced to help him do his dirty work, they do obey his commands. There is no launching pad used against us in battle more often than the sins and the hurts of bygone days. Even relatively small decisions which can lead us astray may reflect the power of Satan to influence human thoughts. Anger, deceit, immorality, and a host of other sins begin with a series of, quote, innocent rationalizations. You see, my friend, tonight we are at war not just within ourselves, but also with an antagonist, a cruel and malicious being who seeks our destruction. He hates God and takes out his anger on the whole human race, particularly the people of God. He has tens of thousands of demons under his control who are organized in a hierarchy with accountability structures. These legions have declared war on us. Well, tonight we're going to look at the darker side of evil and find out some of Satan's strategies to keep us bound to the past. You stay tuned.
Christian, dost thou see them on the holy ground? How the powers of darkness compass thee around? Christian, up and smile. Holy Cross. Christian, dost thou feel them? How they work within, striving, tempting, luring, goading into sin. Christian, dost thou hear them? How they speak thee fair? And vigil, always watch and prayer. Christian, answer boldly, while I breathe, I pray. Peace shall follow battle.
Thanks, Glenn. And my friend, tonight I hope that you have the spiritual perception to see both the enemy and God. Let's take a moment to look at some of the doors of the soul that Satan pries open to exert his destructive influence. I think of the story of Ananias and Sapphira found in Acts chapter 5. Recall that their friends sold property and gave the entire proceeds to the church. Ananias and Sapphira decided that they would do the same, but with an important difference. They chose to give the impression they were donating the entire amount received, when in fact, they were giving only a part of it. You see, withholding some of the price wasn't the issue. They rightly could have kept it all for themselves. It was the impression they wanted to make that was sinful. A harmless white lie, we might think. Yet the Apostle Peter, speaking for God, viewed it differently. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? He asked. Obviously, Satan was the one who gave them the idea of making themselves appear more spiritual than they really were. Do you see how dishonesty gives Satan an entrance into our lives? Because behind the lie is the liar. Fear can also provide an entry for satanic attack. We've all blown wonderful opportunities to witness without ever thinking that our fear may be inspired by Satan. Yet recall that even before Peter put distance between himself and Christ because of fear, Christ actually pinpointed the cause. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Some people live with fear of crowds, fear of sickness, fear of failure. Some of these can be explained as human weaknesses, but Satan strengthens their power to afflict these people. Fear has torment. The scriptures link Satan with sexual temptation, doctrinal heresy, and spiritual blindness. In fact, whenever we present the Word of God, it is always opposed by satanic powers. In a world of darkness, God's Word brings light, and the force of that light causes the evil ones to cower, especially when a believer walks in that light.
Fellowship above, His Spirit.
friend, I want you to know that if you want to dispel the hosts of Satan, you need to walk in that light that the ladies just sang about. Now, Satan takes several steps in his campaign to possess a human soul. These stages are not necessarily consecutive, nor are they always clearly defined. But those who have observed people under the oppression of Satan can discern these levels of satanic involvement. Stage 1. Satan begins by injecting thoughts into our minds that we think are our own. This is brilliant, because first of all, it enables him to remain hidden while luring us into sin. It's good strategy because although sin is attractive to us, Satan is not. If he were to appear telling us what to do, we'd be terrified. But because he makes us think these thoughts are ours, we have no fear. Stage 2. If we entertain those thoughts, he then has a stronghold in which the individual feels compelled to repeat destructive behavior. This cycle becomes so strong that no amount of rationalization will change it. Satan has his foot in the door. The victim feels powerless to close it. No matter how many vows are made to change, when the conditions are right, the behavior is repeated. Stage 3 is an obsession which consumes the person. Maybe a desire for revenge. Some people are completely preoccupied with retaliation and anger. They lie awake at night fantasizing about what they would like to do to even the score. Others are preoccupied with covetousness, moral impurity, various addictions, destructive habits. They feel oppressed, unable to find a way out of their sinful thought patterns and behavior. Let me share a couple of lies that Satan uses to keep people under his control. First of all, he tells us, God can't give me a new identity. You know, we are created in the image of God, and as such we have a derived value. But Christ affirmed the value of a single soul when he asked, "What will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Man is the crown of God's creation and has been endowed with glory and honor. God has given us so much priority. We can see that in redemption. Satan comes to us and says, "You are totally worthless. You have no value." Or another lie he will use is, "God doesn't love me." You remember he said to Adam and Eve, "Indeed, has God said that you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" Those are the first words Satan ever spoke to a human being. And what did the words do? Well, they question the reputation of God. Ever since, Satan has been trying to get us to believe that God doesn't have our best interests at heart. God isn't trustworthy. He doesn't love us. Satan points to all the pain in the world, the abuse, the starvation and suffering, and asks, "You call this love?" Here's another lie, by the way. Satan tells us our problem is too big for God. You see, what he does is he attempts to dethrone God in our thinking by making our problems look bigger than they really are. The intention is to make it appear as if we are beyond hope. Thus, through various fears, people feel spiritually paralyzed, unable to take so much as one step in the direction of freedom. Well, enough. Christ can deliver us, and it is that power that gives all of us a reason for hope.
My soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise, all hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. Oh, watch and fight and pray.
Thank you, John Ennis. Playing, of course, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. We all know that Martin Luther knew something about satanic conflict, didn't he? We're talking about victory over the devil. There is a way out. It may not be easy, but it is sure. Thousands who have been bound by Satan can testify that they are free today. Let me just share some principles that must be practiced repeatedly to bring relief and victory over the wiles of the devil. I know that all of us can quote the verse, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." That's in the book of James. But sometimes we overlook the context. James writes that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then he says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." My point is that before we resist, we must submit. This means that we must repent of all the sin that gives Satan his foothold. Because, you see, repentance cuts the ground out from under the enemy. He can no longer hide behind the sin he inspired us to commit. Christ's ascension is proof of his infinite superiority over satanic forces. We read, "When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphant over them through him." Christ's victory is unquestioned. But what about yours and mine? We seem to have mixed results when we confront Satan. Yet we too can look down from heaven, so to speak, viewing the conflict from Christ's vantage point, because we are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Satan is under Christ's feet. He's under ours too. Now, no one can live the Christian life alone simply because a war is never won by one person. There has to be unity, mutual dependence, and interrelated strategy. To stand against Satan, we need to understand warfare praying. And we need others who can counsel those bound by the chains of Satan. We need other believers to help us in the fight. Of course there are battles. Some behavioral trenches are deep and the wounds of the past are still painful. But there is a path to victory and freedom if we are willing to wage the war. A boy was jumping up and down with excitement on a baseball diamond. A man walked by and asked, "What is the score?" He said, "We're losing 23-0. The man said, "If you're losing, why are you so excited?" And the boy said, "Well, we haven't been to bat yet." Perhaps tonight I'm talking to somebody who has come through a string of losses. But Christ is able to put you back into the ball game. With his strength, you can hit some balls over the fence. You can hit some home runs. Only ignorance would make us surrender to an enemy who has already been defeated. The darkness of the past dissipates in the presence of the one who is light and truth.
Jesus is my hope.
coming out of bondage to the past will likely bring increased satanic oppression, because Satan hates seeing a child of God freed from the chains that keep that child of God ineffective. Pastor Lutzer's words tonight can help us build an effective shield against such attacks. To help you in building that shield, we have a suggestion. Pastor Lutzer has written a full-length book on the topic of putting your past behind you, and we feel you should have this book in your home as a resource to turn to. This book is available through Here's Life Publishers, and it may be the key to unlocking the prison doors that have kept you from reaching your full potential in Christ. You can get your copy of Putting Your Past Behind You at your local Christian bookstore. Or if you wish, you can write to us at Songs in the Night for information on receiving the book from us here at Moody Church. Our address is simply Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write, be sure to give us your name and address and mention Putting Your Past Behind You in your letter. We thank the many of you who support Songs in the Night, as this helps us keep this teaching ministry coming in the months ahead. Our address, once again, is Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Music tonight came to us from the King's Carolers, Myrna White, Cheryl Fornelli, Joanna Hettinga, and Marcia Twaddell. Glenn Jorian is our soloist, along with John Ennis at the organ. This is Ted Seeley thanking each one of you for tuning in. Now, with some closing thoughts, here once again is our pastor at the Moody Church, Dr. Erwin Lutzer.
Thank you so much, and tonight, before I close, I have to acknowledge one more time. Let us acknowledge together that Satan is defeated. And let us pray together and ask that we will repent of the sins that may be in our lives that give him a foothold. Our Father, we want to thank you today for the victory of Jesus Christ, which is so certain and so secure. And we rejoice that we can participate in that victory. And we pray that as many people have listened to this broadcast all throughout the United States, that there may be repentance and submission that Satan might flee. We pray that many battles shall be won for the glory of Christ, and we shall give you all the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Songs in